Warning, the following program is designed for casual wrestling fans and is meant purely for entertainment. If you're SAWFT, proceed at your own risk. Viewer discretion is advised. Brother, I'm going, run a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like gets a moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick her on his choke cord. But it's no holds barred, middle finger like a Stone Cold. And what is good, everybody? We are back with another episode of the Slappin' Mead Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, Weed Too Deep. As always, on Tuesdays, joined by the one and only DJ Wavy D, who just got back from Vegas. So before we jump into breaking down WrestleMania, we got to hear about the trip. You know, Kara wants to hear some pool party stories. So how was it?
Oh, not going to lie. We got out there, you know, you can tell my voice isn't quite there. I just got it back yesterday. I literally had to, like, try to scream to get, like, a word out. Like, my voice was gone yesterday. People couldn't even hear me. I was trying to order a fucking a sandwich at McDonald's, see, at the airport. The guy couldn't hear me. Like, I had to, like, write it on my phone. But, yeah, we got there. The weather wasn't the greatest as far as, like, I guess before we got there, the weather was, like, 85. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as we leave, the weather is 85. Mm-hmm. When we get there, the weather was, like, 70, 72 the whole week, the whole weekend. But, you know, that didn't stop me, you know what I'm saying? I got the pool. Pools were heated. I was chilling. The DJs were bumping. And there was only 2 days in a row where I spent, like, all day in the pool, because there was the first pool party we went to. It was a little windy. I can hold you. I was in the pool, though. Like, you didn't feel cold until you got out the water or the wind started to hit you. But I was in the water chilling. And then later that evening, we went to I got stuffy nose. Later that evening, we went to WrestleMania Night 1, which, you know, those who follow me on Instagram or whatever, who are in the Discord chats, I put, you know, I was at Stadium Swim over at the Circa Hotel. Mm-hmm. You know, so they had like six pools, big screen TV of WrestleMania going on, big viewing party, had food and drinks available. Admission to get it was only $40. The pickers, like restaurants or bars, was like $100 just to get a table.
Right.
I was in there in the water with baddies for just $40. For night two WrestleMania, excuse me, we were at another pool party early in the day. And then there was this bridal party. I think she was they was there for her bachelorette party or whatever. And one of the friends in the group, I low-key kind of caught, was eyeing me down a little bit. And mind you, this was on Sunday, so I had no voice.
Right.
So if I wanted to talk to her, I had no voice to talk to her.
He really had the hump. So that,
exactly. And so she made eye contact me, and like I saw her friends try to, like, push her at me. They're like, you'll go talk to him, whatever. And then finally the bride, she pulled me in to dance with one of her friends. The girl was eyeing me.
Right.
And we danced slightly. Well, mind you, at this certain time, so WrestleMania started at 4:00, right? Over in Vegas.
Over in Vegas, right.
This is like 3:30.
I'm
like, yo, I gotta start catching an Uber pretty soon to get to the other hotel. And you know, I'm like, you know, the Uber for the day before, Uber took about 10 minutes. So I was like, you know, and then I was like, you know, you got the welcoming, and then you got the intros, you know, Stephanie McMahon's going to say something. I was like, maybe I got a little buffer time to get there. But, you know, I started dancing with her, and then I kept looking at my phone a little bit. I was like, I got to get this. I got to get this Uber.
Right.
And then eventually, before I can get her number or anything, see what she was doing later, I was like, I left Matt abruptly. I was like, I'm sorry, I got to go. And then, but like, I had no voice. So to her, it just looks like a guy was dancing with her and just walked away.
Right.
She was a fine, Middle Eastern woman.
So, okay.
Another fun time is Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. I went to Stand Deliver.
Yep.
Had great seats, boy.
Yeah.
I bought them the night before. Or no, that morning. I bought them that morning, I think. Or the night
right.
One or the other. I was probably, it was probably 2 o'clock in the morning. I bought them like 2 o'clock in the morning. Okay. I was like, I got some great ass seats. Head on. It was amazing. The show was great.
Yeah.
That's the start. That was the start of me losing my voice. I was yelling at Stand Deliver. And then I went to the pool party where I was yelling and screaming. Went to WrestleMania night one where I was yelling and screaming with a bunch of fans in the pool. We were singing all the songs and
right.
Roman Reigns. And then I went to the WrestleMania nightclub.
The Mark Henry one, right?
Yes, it was put on by Remix Rumble. If you want to look them up on TikTok or in Instagram, amazing promotion, Remix Rumble. The guy started out of his mom's basement or out of his basement. I don't know. He started somewhere. Just right. Local fans going there to watch the show and listen to music. And now he goes out to all the big shows like WrestleMania, SummerSlam, all this stuff. And they rent out venues. They bring in wrestlers like Mark Henry was there, R-Truth, D'Lo Brown, Top Dollar. Mm. They all made appearances, and we're on stage, and everybody was hyped and stuff. Mm. Not gonna hold you. It was like 95% males. But
yeah, I saw your video. It was like, yeah, it was 95% males. I was like,
We was vibing though.
Right.
But yeah, that was pretty much how I lost my voice and not in recovery.
Yeah.
This right here is like 15 times better than it was this time yesterday.
Mm. So let's dive on in now. We're not gonna do a let's get cooking. We gotta do a deep dive on three shows. We're gonna do night one, night two, and Raw from last night. You did watch all of Raw, right?
Yes, I called up. I tried to watch it live.
Yeah.
I started watching like 10 minutes late or 15 minutes late.
Mm.
But and then my Netflix, usually you could rewind to start from the beginning. But it was tweaking. I couldn't restart it. So I said, fuck it. I'm just going to go to sleep.
Just watch it.
And watch it later. So I caught up.
Right. So let's start with WrestleMania night one. We won't do like a move by move breakdown, but we will do all the matches. We got Jay versus Gunther, and we get the moment we kind of expected. I know I predicted Gunther to win last week, but there's a little bit just me hoping. I knew Jay would win this match, especially with it starting. Wavy D told this, last week. If Jay and Gunther start the show, they're not gonna have Jay lose. So we kind of all knew this was gonna happen. You were there in Vegas, and not necessarily in the crowd, but how was the response to Jay winning?
I heard the yeets from across the town. You know what I'm saying? Across the city, I can hear the yeets.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They're pouring out of the stadium. They were into my pool party. Now we was eating it up. The crowd was eating it up. The fans at the viewing party were Jay fans.
Yeah.
There are definitely some Gunther guys in the crowd, but you can't help but to eat along.
Right.
They were surprised. We were all surprised about the tap out.
Right. So that's kind of what I wanted to talk about. The match itself wasn't anything special, but I don't really think we all thought it would be. But the tap out. And at first I was confused by it. At first I thought, oh, well, that just made Gunther look silly. But if we go back and actually look at sort of what happened, Gunther, I don't want to say has a history of tapping out when submissions are in him, because he doesn't really get put in submissions a lot. Mm. But the last time this kind of happened was Dragunov Gunther 2, which isn't the match everyone talks about. This is the second one on actual NXT where it was sort of the same thing. Dragunov got him in a rear choke and he tapped in like 2 seconds. Mm. So it is sort of the lore that Gunther doesn't, that Gunther taps pretty quick once he's in a submission. But I also think we got to figure, I mean, he took 3 splashes right before it. So it does make somewhat logical sense that he was out of breath and he taps out. It was surprising. I know a lot of people probably wanted the 1-2-3 finish, but you also got to think the story they've been telling this whole time was Gunther choking out Jay, Gunther choking out Jimmy. And so they just the story just turned it around to the, well, Jay's going to get him back by choking out Gunther. Anything else about this match, you know, that you want to add to?
I walked into the arena as the match was starting.
Right.
So I didn't see the initial introductions until I went back when I was on the plane and rewatched the start of the match. I like Jay's entrance. It was, you know, it was flashy, but not like too over the top. It was like, right, just the right icing on the cake for WrestleMania entrance. You know, Gunther, business as usual.
Right.
The match started off good. It didn't take too long. It wasn't bad like Jimmy versus Jay. Jay actually had, you know, some nice moves in there, some little repertoire. It wasn't just super kicks left and right.
Right.
And I'm happy with the match. I'm happy, you know, this match was always about the moment and right, the payoff.
Which brings me to my question. Does this being essentially a local time afternoon show, I don't know why they decided to, I don't know how the stadium's designed. I know it's a dome, but it's like open air. Do you think like being afternoon, I know a lot of people were complaining that with the light shining in, it sort of took away from the moment. I didn't think that when I was watching it.
I have a newfound respect for our West Coast fans, because I feel like the show just sneaks up on you.
Right.
It was, what, 7 o'clock on the East Coast or 8 o'clock on the East Coast? It
was 7 out in the East, yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like I'm in the middle of the day doing whatever. Next thing right, I look down, I'm like, shit, wrestling starts in an hour.
Right.
And, like, you know, I was a little prepared for it sometimes.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, wrestling is always kind of like a, okay, you settle in for the night, you watch some wrestling. This, I was right,
like for me, WrestleMania ends, it's 11 o'clock. You, it's fucking 7 or 8.
Yeah.
And you have a whole night to party, and I'm in bed. So,
I literally had time to go back to my hotel, take a little nap,
right,
and then go out clubbing at like 11 o'clock.
Right. We'll move on. Next match. New Day versus War Raiders. It was kind of, I'm going to be honest with you, it was exactly what I expected it to be. New Day was going to win. Didn't have to be all flashy. One of those sort of like slower matches.
I thought the match was better than the Discord was giving it credit for. I thought it was, I feel like it would have been a really good Monday night main event.
Yeah, so
a really good long main event.
So that's exactly the way, like if this match happened on Monday Night Raw after Mania, I feel like it would have gotten a lot more respect. I also feel, I think a lot of people, especially in the Discord, probably didn't like that it replaced the TLC match. What I think people need to realize, and what I had to realize in the moment, was that you need something for SmackDown after Mania. And that's going to be one of the big draws to get people to watch it, is the Street Profits and, what is it, DIY? or Motor City Machine Gun, or is it all three?
I missed SmackDown this past Friday. I was out partying.
Right. I didn't hate the match. I feel like the critique for the, especially night one, was that it was super predictable. Everyone knows that I don't think being predictable is a bad thing. My number one critique is that, especially for this match, is like there wasn't a lot of story going into it. It wasn't a major focus, and because they didn't focus on it, it didn't feel special to me. It didn't feel like a Mania worthy match to me. But it wasn't bad. Like, I think a lot of people thought this match was bad. I thought it was decent. It like you said, it was a Raw main event.
And for those who like the deeper stories, this was a slight. This is one of the payoffs to the Karrion Kross story.
Yeah.
Kofi is one of the first characters that Karrion, you know, kind of got his hands on when he came back. And now, Kofi and Xavier Woods got their titles back.
Right. So we're two matches in, two title changes. We apparently are going to, but we have to notice something here that's starting off here. We're getting a reset in our champions, but we're also, if we notice, and we'll talk about this more on when we talk about Night One's main event and other stuff, there's a thing WWE's doing, and I kind of predicted this, where they've been super focused on baby faces, and now there's like this swap to all the popular characters are being heels, and they're gonna be heel friendly, I feel, over the next year or so. And so, with that being said, we move on. We got Jade versus Naomi. First thing I want to say is Naomi's new entrance song, I think, is really good. There's no way Def Rebel made it. There's no way. There's no way. Naomi tagline at the top, at the front of it. It's just the song. I'm not sure if I'm a fan of like the caution tape type attire, but I can get over that. What did you think of this match?
It was better than expected.
Right.
So
right.
I kind of this match being either one of two ways. It'd be a car crash,
right,
or being very good match. And right. It turned out to be more of a very good match. The two women put on a great show. Naomi, she has a history of being a good working partner.
Yep.
As far as like she's a good hand, she's a reliable wrestler. You know, do I like all her movesets? No. Right. But she's a safe worker, she's a good worker, she can sell, she can get you over.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, also due to her athletic ability, that she could kind of sell some of the stuff that Jade wants to put her into. Right. Where it's like put her shoulders, flipping her over, put her some other type of maneuver. Some women, you know, look sloppy, but Naomi, she's athletic enough to where she can kind of make it, you know, makes it look clean. And Jade proved that she was more just a super kick and two power moves. You know, so right. She sold for Naomi, she did some other stuff, and she looked good. I enjoyed the match. I mean, was it high on my list of like match of the nights? No, but it was a very solid match, and you know we got a payoff. But you know, Jade got her revenge for this thing, and there's still more story there. I still think Bianca's behind it,
100%. And we'll actually talk about that when we talk about Bianca's match and the result. But 100%. So I'll be honest with you, I had to go back and rewatch this match because watching it live, I was trying to figure out if Jade was wearing like a bodysuit underneath her, because I don't know where she found skin color bodysuit. Like, I was literally trying to figure out what the hell. Also, Jade, do something about your whole titty was showing at one point.
But both of them kept pulling up on their things.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of you say, hey, Zoe Stark might have a point. You know what I'm saying? You guys got to find ring attire.
Speaking of that, Zoe, I'm going to need you to pick on someone other than Liv Morgan, because that's all you go after now is Liv Morgan.
Hey, Liv Morgan's an easy target.
I mean, you're not wrong. But yeah, I enjoyed this match. But yeah, there's definitely more story. I'm with you.
That could be the next feud.
Yeah.
Zoe and Liv. Zoe and Shane versus Liv and Raquel. That might be your feud coming out of this.
I mean, it could be. We'll move on. LA Knight, Jacob Fatu, which was, I think it was you and Witters in the casual Discord voted this as match of the night. I need you to explain that for me.
He goes, well, where's this smart man, all right? I feel like me and Witters, we're always on the same page about a lot of stuff. Like 9% of wrestling, me and Witters are on the same page. Witters is a very, very, very smart wrestling fan. I would say from the pure X's and O's of the in-ring wrestling, that this match is really good. It was a coming out party for Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
LA Knight still held his own. And I like LA's entrance. I thought that Solo would get involved and kind of cause Jacob the match. But I think the surprise factor of Jacob actually winning was added to being my match of the night. Let's see. I loved it. At first, I didn't quite catch it. I was like, oh, that looked different. Was when Jacob did the moonsault, LA turned it into his finishing move.
Yeah.
It was smooth, but it was the first time we ever saw it. So I thought, yeah. I thought they might have botched it. I was like, oh, he turned that into BFT or whatever, where his name, the name was called. Pink Bear name. But that match is really good. Both superstars displayed their athletic ability, especially for their sizes and their builds. Like, LA Knight is built like almost like a Randy Orton, but he can move. He's more nimble. All right, he moves like a cat.
Right.
And Jacob, you know, a small werewolf. You know, so that's where he get his agility from. It was a showcase of two wrestlers who have sneaky agility, and they put out a really good match with each other. And the finish of the match, in my eyes, was a little bit surprising, which I liked.
Yeah. I don't know necessarily if I thought it was surprising to me. I did pick Jacob to win. I just, personally, for me, the match itself, it's not going to be memorable. It's not going to be the match we remember from this pay-per-view or PLE. But I do think it's going to set I do think it's going to be the catalyst to the bigger story, which is Solo Jacob at SummerSlam. So I do think Fatu wins the match here. I think at some point, at whatever way it comes down, him and Solo will be one of the bigger matches at SummerSlam, maybe before then. But I would save the match to SummerSlam. We got like four big events before we get there, though. So, really good match. You know, the next match we have El Grande Americano versus Rey Fénix, as Rey Mysterio got injured on Friday. Not quite certain how he got hurt. It looked like the injury came when the Creeds pulled him out of the ring. Part of me believes that Rey Mysterio was when they wrote the script, he was sort of a placeholder in case Tony Khan wouldn't release Rey Fénix.
Okay.
And so that's going to be my conspiracy about this, that Rey Fénix was always supposed to be in the match, but they weren't certain if he was going to be on the show. And so that's why they went with the Rey Mysterio route. And then once they had Fénix, they could, you know, they had to find a way to write Mysterio out of it. Now, I mean, Rey could honestly be hurt, and that could just be a crazy conspiracy. But either way, El Grande Americano wins his WrestleMania debut. What was your thought on the match?
I thought the technical in-ring work was really good. I thought the display of just the movesets between each other was good. Mm. The athletic ability, the chemistry. I liked how El Grande Americano, you know, he went about cheating to win.
Right.
I was happy that they just give Rey Fénix the win. I feel like it would kill Grande's character a little bit.
Right.
I feel like Rey could withstand a loss. It was only his, what, like third WWE match? It was at WrestleMania, which is wild.
Right.
And when it comes to Grande Americano, I liked the way he cheated. I thought it was clever. You know, it's second time he did it, but I liked how it wasn't just straight to the insert it, do the move and the match. It was insert it. He got caught up in a little bit of stuff. They fought for a little more, and then came back into play. They spun the block, came back around to it, to where Rayface was hitting the top rope walking kick.
Right, and he kicked him. And at first I was like, oh, shit, did he get hurt? And then I remembered, oh.
He broke his toe.
he had just a loaded match. Which to me, I'm not trying to, like, bring this up. I didn't really want to. But that's a detail that Tony Khan wouldn't have had booked into a show. Or where Rey Fénix and AEW wouldn't have sold that kick. But that's a major portion of the match. That's part of the story that needed to be told. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's still a lot in this gimmick for El Grande Americano. I need him to go down to AAA and just win everything. Just disrespect the fuck out of the people there. He could be the biggest heel in Mexico if he does it. The reverse 450, whatever the
fuck. That shit was beautiful. that shit was beautiful.
Yeah, that might be like one of the better moves of the night. I really enjoyed this. And at this point, I was like, so they showed the video with next match, Tiffany and Charlotte. And I'm like, are we really five matches into the card already?
Yeah, it was flying by.
Night one flew by. Night two even flew by. So we got Tiffany and Charlotte.
Before we go into them, how long do you think WWE – has been the works of acquiring AAA?
I don't know like the exact. I'm sure there was something Triple H wanted to do. I'm sure he's been in contact with them for a while. I know before Vince took over NXT, he wanted to have like an NXT Mexico, and so it doesn't surprise me. I think the IWC overreaction of this is going to kill wrestling is exactly that. It's an overreaction. They haven't even had the first event yet. I don't see it any different than what Forbidden Door is. Other than Tony Khan isn't doing what Triple H is going to do. What all this partnership acquisition is you have a dying company in Mexico. CMLL is clearly number one over there now. And for whatever reason you want to blame, whether if it's Conan's booking or whatever, AAA is just not as popular as it used to be when Rey Mysterio and Andrade and all of them were there.
Yeah.
And so all this does is I 100% think WWE is not going to touch the branding. They may make it NXT Mexico. I don't think they will. I think they won't touch the branding. All this is going to do, and what this did, was pump money into this promotion. And it secured a lot of wrestlers to guarantee that this company that's about to die, you don't have to worry about losing your job. Unless you're Alberto Del Rio, there's no way they actually keep him on the roster. And Conan may lose his job. I don't know if they would want him as part of the – but I wouldn't get rid of him. Conan's been, from what I've heard, really in favor of working with WWE, so I wouldn't get rid of him. He's a brilliant mind.
I'll definitely keep that. I would keep that kind of in-between guy, that connection guy.
Yeah.
No, the reason I asked you how long you think it was kind of the works is because it seems like everything's kind of like the stars are aligning perfectly to where WWE acquired AAA. You got the El Grande Americano character, you brought right. in Penta and Rey Fénix,
right?
You still have superstars like Mysterio, Dragon Lee. You have the LWO, the Gods of Phantasma,
right?
Like it's kind of like everything's kind of lined up to where you can this could be kind of a strong thing, and, you know, for time to come, you could possibly you know, it might not be pertain to the CML promotion. You might have impact on the main roster as far as like rebranding and regrowing a Mexican faction, maybe.
Right. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think for one thing we've learned is that Triple H really has a thing for foreign talent, like foreign wrestlers. And so he always gets attacked for being racist, and people only say that because he doesn't really push black wrestlers all that much. But in the meantime, which is crazy to me, because you have the Street Profits as champions. You have Bianca as one of your top women's wrestlers. You don't really have a lot of main roster wrestlers who are like main event ready that are African American at this point. All of them are down in NXT, the Trick Williams, the Javon Evans, the Oba Femis. When they're ready, Carmelo, I don't know why he's not pushing him, but I don't think that necessarily makes him, you know, racist. There's, you know,
I think he has recent luck on his side. He's been paired with the Miz. He's getting the Miz rub. And he went on to the Giant World Battle Royal.
I also think Triple H made a sly comment a couple weeks ago where, and it may not apply to Carmelo, where he said something in these press interviews. Oh, there's a lot of people who get the call up from NXT who are comfortable in NXT, and then they stop once they get to the main roster. They stop putting in the work. I don't know if that's about Carmelo, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was. But my point bringing that up is Triple H gets labeled as like racist, but people don't see that he's doing a lot to push the Hispanic wrestlers. I mean, he's the only one that would ever think to start a push, which is Zelina Vega. So, which I'm not against it, but this could have been something that's in the works. I also think eventually Japan's gonna get a working partnership with, whether it's Pro Wrestling Noah or maybe it's New Japan. Who knows? We'll see. Eventually they'll get there. But we'll transition into Tiffany and Charlotte. So Tiffany comes out first in the little Barbie box, which I thought was a really cool entrance. And then Charlotte comes out, and I don't know if this was planned but Charlotte's like, "Hey, you're going to wear pink. Fuck it. I'll wear pink too." Which I wasn't the biggest fan of.
I blame Charlotte for that. You know, Tiffany wearing pink. You know, Tiffany's color is pink. You know, Tiffany wearing pink. I blame Charlotte for that one.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Again, this wasn't this whole feud has been messy, so it goes down that the match should probably be messy too. Part of me feels that Charlotte was sandbagging a little bit, especially towards the finish. And I don't know I missed the part where she kicked her in the face and Tiffany lost teeth, but Tiffany definitely lost teeth.
But then they were like back within like later that night.
They were back by the end of the show when she was on the press conference. They were fixed. I don't know how the hell that happened, but
I like Dirty D's his theory
that Britt Baker's on the roster. Yeah,
Britt Baker is backstage.
It wouldn't surprise me. Tiffany wins, which I just got a little call out here. I fucking told everybody when Charlotte won and everyone said, "Oh, she's going to bury Tiffany." No, I told you 8 months ago, Tiffany was winning this match. I don't think this was
a chance. Now there was definitely a chance until Charlotte got her own way.
I don't think I 100% believe Tiffany was going to win this match no matter what. And what my personal opinion is that Charlotte Flair knew she had to put Tiffany over, and in my opinion, threw a fastball down the center of the plate to make Tiffany feel like the sympathetic woman who's getting bullied, and Tiffany didn't swing the bat at it. we can argue that to on what's wrong or what's not. It doesn't really matter. Tiffany's still our champion. That's all that matters. Charlotte can go take a vacation for all I care, and it could be a permanent one, if I'm being honest. We'll see on Friday what comes out of it, but I don't want to see Charlotte versus Tiffany anymore. We need something new for Tiffany. What was your thoughts on this match?
Better than expected.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting a car crash.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting like a shoot fight. I was expecting like to go off the rails.
Right.
I was ready for it. I was excited for it in a bad way. But I'm glad that they worked out for the most part. There was some stiff moments, some stiff strikes, some stiff chops, some stiff kicks, but hey, they got it done. Tiffany's still a champion. So I'm a happy camper.
Yes, sir. So then we get to the main event, the moment everyone's been waiting for. Roman Reigns, CM Punk, Seth Rollins. Now, everyone knows that this deserves the main event. And so we get Seth Rollins in the ring. We get Roman Reigns in the ring. CM Punk gets played out by Living Color, which, I mean, it was all right. I'm surprised that those guys are still touring and singing. And they're like 84 years old at this point.
It was a good little performance.
It was good.
He had makeup on CM Punk's shirt.
Yeah. And then so we get the match started, and I think everyone was expecting some kind of tomfoolery to happen, some bullshit to happen.
Ooh.
And there was a point in the match. I mean, first off, just before the ending happened, this was a great match just on itself.
Oh yeah,
this
should have been main event night too.
100%. This should have been. there's a point in the match where Paul Heyman goes over and he picks up the chair. Now I wasn't even thinking of like a turn at this point. Was completely in the back of my mind. I'm over there screaming at the TV, Paul, what the fuck are you doing? Put the chair down. And so then comes the conflict of, do I give it to CM Punk? Do I give it to Roman? And because I'm just fully expecting him to yeet this chair over to Seth Rollins.
Same. I thought he was just going. I thought it was gonna be a double turn right away.
Yeah,
just slide to Seth.
Because that's sort of how we've been sort of programmed that this would happen, is that he would like act like he's giving it to Punk, but then he would push it too far, and Seth would grab the chair. But the way they did it was perfect. He gets in the so he hands CM Punk the chair, and at first I'm like, okay, that's it. But then he gets in the ring.
Yeah.
And now I'm confused. Like, what are you doing in the ring?
I mean, at that point, I knew what was coming next at that point.
Yeah. At that point, it was kind of obvious. He gets, especially because he, like, lined himself up right behind CM Punk. And he gets down, and he delivers the first low blow. And at that point, I'm like, oh, shit, is he helping Roman? Where we all were focused on Rollins. And then he played into it too long. I'm like, okay, we know exactly what the fuck's about to happen.
Yeah, I was in the pool. I was standing near me. I was like, he's going to low blow Roman too.
Yeah.
He's gonna low blow. They're like, no, he's not. I was like, he's going with Seth.
Right. So Roman gets the chair. And it was at this point where Paul says, my tribal chief, you can get justice for what he did to you 10 years ago, which I think Paul forgot last year, where Roman beat the fuck out of Seth Rollins. And that's what cost him the match. But we'll forget about that tiny mistake there, Paul. So then he lines himself up between Roman. I'm like, okay, here we go. And this man not only delivers the low blow, he wiggles that arm around to make sure every square inch of downstairs area
of tribal meat has been conquered.
Everything's been slapped down there. And he hands a chair to Rollins, and that's it. And we have the start of something that will eventually, in 2 days, become even better. And we'll talk about that when we talk about Raw But this was the perfect finish. This, you know, because this sort of saved night one, in my opinion. While everything was good, nothing was like above a 7 to me. Like night one was like a 7, and then this could bump it up to like an 8. And so thoroughly enjoyed everything about this. This was pure cinema.
Cinema.
And this right here was going to make Monday Night Raw one of the best shows to watch.
Mm. Now,
anything else you want to add to that match?
Before we go, you know, zoom forward too much, I guess a follow-up question is, you know, we were talking in Discord about this being almost like an evolution faction. Do you think there's a chance to just be like a new Shield? I mean, either way, I think we get another member, but everybody's talking about how the character is going to fit a Randy Orton kind of character.
Right. The first thing that came to my mind was Evolution, but I thought of that because they've always done this thing where like Seth has always pretended to be Triple H. Basically, he's like the new Triple H, and so. I don't know if this will be like Evolution 2.0. I know a lot of people are calling it a new Dangerous Alliance, which was Paul Heyman's thing when he was Paul E. Dangerously, which is the worst name I've ever heard in my life, by the way. But I don't know if that's the nostalgia fans trying to, and I'm guilty of it as well. That's us trying to push nostalgia on something. This could be something completely brand new. It could be a new Shield. Whatever it is, I'm down for it. Because I'm already entertained with what we got so far. So we end night one, perfect main event, in my opinion. We begin night two with the match I thought would start night two, right when I predicted this. Io Sky, Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley. Though I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I don't think I'm alone in this. This match right here is the best women's match of all time in WWE. Best women's match of all time. This is a match that beats Bayley and Sasha at NXT for me. I'll go even one step further. This is the best women's match at WrestleMania of all time. But it's also the best WrestleMania opener of my fandom, because a lot of people will say Bret and Owen at WrestleMania 10 was better.
Some people might even say Ray and Eddie.
Ray and Eddie, right. So while I've been watching, this has been the greatest opening match of a WrestleMania. This match was legit perfection to me. I thoroughly believe these three women are the best three women's wrestlers on the planet right now. I don't care what order you put them in, but these are your top three. You know, I would go Bianca, Rhea, Io, but I know some of y'all will think that's disrespectful to Io. What were your thoughts on this match?
All I'm going to say is Uncle Wavy told y'all so. Okay. Io Sky. Io Sky. Io Sky. Io. Yep. Io Sky. Io. Io Sky.
Yeah.
Io. Io Sky. Io. Look. Io Sky.
Look, you told us. And I'll sit here and admit I was wrong. And good for her.
Yes. So Bianca got too much drama on SmackDown that she has to work her way through first.
Yeah.
Before she spins the block. Her versus Tiffany will be nice, but you know, but she has to work through her drama with Naomi.
Yeah.
And
there's still some story there.
Jade Cargo.
Yeah.
Rhea, you know, say we can get Rhea versus Ia. Ia running back. We can get this. I mean, I don't want to skip too far ahead to get to Raw, but there's some other storylines going on there. Io got her hands full on Raw right now. That's all I got to say.
Yes, she does.
Great match, though.
There's nothing more I could say to it. This is one of the greatest matches I've ever watched in my life. And it just showed, and here's what I'll say, right, is as much as I complained about the story, there was a story there. And that's what made it entertaining. And we probably should have seen EO winning this because the whole story was the bigger girls bullying her, pushing her out of the way, saying she's not good enough, and then she overcomes it, right? And so easy story to follow there. Where it goes from here, we'll find out. I don't know if she's ready, but I would love an Asuka return for the belt, run that back. Or maybe a Kairi Sane comes back from injury and we could run that.
It's great because as much as we say this might have been the best women's match of all time, it still wasn't the best match of the weekend.
Right. Right.
Which is crazy. It wasn't the best triple threat of the weekend either.
Yeah. Oh, so when you say that, what would you say the best match of the weekend was since you brought that up?
The best triple threat match of the weekend was Oba versus Javon versus Trick Williams.
Yes, sir.
And then it was his women's match. And then it was Seth, Roman, and Punk.
Yeah. Stand and deliver. Look, I know a lot of y'all, especially in the casual audience, feel like NXT is a waste of time to watch. I promise you, first off, you're going to have to watch NXT if you're going to understand any of these storylines that they're about to start telling you. Because we got Stephanie. We got EO, we got Roxanne, or not EO, Julia, excuse me. We got Stephanie, Julia, Roxanne on here. We have the women's tag belts being, you know, we got Tatum and Gigi on the screen on Monday. So
don't think of it like NXT of old or OVW of old,
right?
Where characters would be there and it comes to the main roster, the whole different characters. Right.
And I think that's the problem is a lot of people view NXT still as, oh, well, this is just development. And when they're ready for us to watch on the main roster, then they'll put them there. No. This is its own brand. Finally, like we have to acknowledge that it's its own brand. It's got set characters. As much as I tried to tell you the other week that I think that a lot of the roster are going to be caught up, it may not happen because they'll be fine running the same roster. And who knows? We may just get two or three people changed. I would love if they do a draft, if Ava gets some picks where she could pick some Raw or SmackDown people to bring to NXT. I do think, especially with Triple H and Shawn Michaels running creative, you're going to have to focus on NXT. Think about it however you want. You're going to have to watch it to understand some of these things that are going, because they're going to mention NXT feuds and they're going to promote it a lot. We'll move on. We got the Sin City. I'm going to call it what it actually is. The Sin City Extreme Rules match. Drew McIntyre versus Damian Priest. Drew gets the awkward doom.
I wasn't quite sure.
I'm gonna say this. I'm tired of them inserting the entrances of wrestlers mixed with the promotional stuff. You want to have the match sponsored by Doom or by Clash of Clans or whatever, that's fine. But why the fuck were the Viking or the War Raiders who are no longer Vikings, but they're dressed up like Vikings again? Or Drew McIntyre is dressed up like a Doom medieval character for no reason. But Damian Priest gets a cool entrance being played out by Slayer. Which, if you're not like a metalhead, I know for some of us in the Discord, they didn't quite like that entrance. I thought it was fucking fantastic. And you can tell Damian Priest was trying not to fangirl over there. that was this match. I'll say this. The match was not bad. The match was actually really good for what it was. My only complaint is it's not a fucking street fight. Can we stop calling them street fights?
It's crazy is that the triple threat from the night before between the men went more into the streets, like into the crowd and stuff.
Right.
This one, they go into the crowd.
Right. They didn't even leave the ringside area, if I remember correctly. They maybe went outside a little bit to the aprons or to you know, the tables and shit. But It's an Extreme Rules match. It's fine label. I know you want the fancy names, and it's not a street fight. We don't have to call it a street fight if it's not going to be a street fight. But we got banger match one, banger match two. We're good. Two for two for night two. Then we get the fatal four way. And we got banger three. This match right here. Bron Breakker graduated up to the big boys, and we'll talk about him on Monday. But just like everyone's expected, this came down to Dominic and Finn and that tension. Finn's getting ready to do the pin, and they kind of do the same finish we get with EO, but I don't think it's necessarily the same. Dom does a splash, breaks up the pin, pins Finn, and Dominic Mysterio is your new Intercontinental Champion. And something happened here. He got over organically, and now he's fucking cheered by. Well, Vegas is a weird crowd. This Mania crowd was weird because they were booing, the faces, they were cheering cheering the heels in some of the matches. It's kind of a weird crowd. I don't really, to me, that doesn't play into much of anything.
Bianca's been getting booed in a few cities now.
Yeah, so the thing is I just think people are tired of Bianca because I think here's the thing. She was in the ring with two women who have they have like cult followings.
Yeah.
Like Rhea Ripley has her stands and Io has this uber hardcore, like we love Japanese wrestling.
Yeah.
The and I don't mean any offense when I say this, the little weird kids who watch anime in the corner, they have, you know, James over here calling her my Joshi princess. I'm like, bro, calm down, you fucking mark. But just Bianca doesn't have that type of fan base. And so it doesn't even hurt my feelings, honestly, that she gets booed. I just wish that they would do something with it, and I think they will, because I'm with you. She has a lot of story left to tell, and I think eventually she's going to pair back up with Naomi, and it's going to be unveiled that she was the mastermind that actually attacked Jade. And Jade remembered Naomi running away, but she didn't see Bianca when Bianca was the one that hit her or whatever, right? So I do think that's going to be the story. But we move into Randy Orton. Is that I can't really see, that's a little blurry.
I got you.
Oh, did Luca die on NXT?
Well, it cut to black. so that was the last segment I was watching before I came down here.
Yes,
he was meeting with Stax Lorenzo, and then. Shit. They were talking, but, you know, they were out in the desert. And then it cut to black, and then I came down here. So I don't know if they were, like, a follow-up segment.
You know what's going to be weird? What's going to be weird is he's been on Evolve, and they taped that back in, like, July. So it's going to be really weird when Evolve comes on Wednesday and Luca's on the screen. Randy Orton. Comes out, and all week we've been saying it's going to be Otis, it's going to be Rusev, it's going to be Aleister Black. I don't know about you, but the one name that I did not consider was Joe fucking Hendry.
Hey, you know what's crazy? Looking back at it, his name makes the most sense.
Right. This makes the most sense out of anybody. I heard Jeff Hardy was potentially going to be the one they – I'm glad it's not Jeff Hardy. Let me completely honest with you. Now – I don't want to talk about the match. It went exactly the way we planned or we thought this match would go. Joe Hendry hit his spots. Randy Orton hit an RKO out of nowhere.
Yeah.
What I want to talk about is these fucking marks. And the IWC, who are, oh my God, WWE just buried TNA. As if AEW, your precious AEW, didn't have Kenny Omega and Christian Cage come in and steal your title to where it was never on your fucking product. It was only on AEW. What WWE just did was put your world champion on Mania, the biggest show of the year in the wrestling business, against one of the greatest of all time.
Against a top 10 superstar of all time.
Who sold for Joe fucking Hendry. He's not buried, guys. He's not buried at all.
And then he gave him the rub also. He gave him the rub.
Right. I think people feel like, Orton hit that second RKO was. No. Guys, that's the Randy Orton rub.
Yes. It means he fucks with you.
Right. Right. But also, from everything I've heard from backstage, Randy Orton's sort of like a Brock Lesnar. He doesn't wrestle you if he doesn't trust you in the ring. And so the fact that he approves wrestling Joe Hendry means that he thinks that Joe Hendry's up to his level. So
Joe Hendry makes sense too.
Yeah, 100%. I mean,
all these other superstars that we named, God forbid they had a 5-minute match like Randy and Joe Hendry did.
Right,
fans would be up in arms if Rusev came back.
If Rusev came back, match. Right, and then we'll talk about how Rusev actually came back and. I got some opinions about that. But, if Aleister Black came back and had a long-ass entrance for a 3-minute match, they're burying Aleister Black. Like, guys, Randy Orton was going to win this match.
And also, what happened at Mania played into NXT tonight a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you got a chance to watch anything.
I haven't yet. I haven't watched anything. Logan Paul versus AJ Styles. Now, I'm going to admit, I did not enjoy this match. However... However, I understand why Logan Paul ran the style he did. I think they wanted to show that Logan Paul can wrestle. He's not just the flashy,
spot fest.
The spot fest wrestler. I still think he hits the best buckshot lariat in the business. That shit was clean. Every time he hits it, it's clean. Yeah, but I wasn't necessarily the biggest fan of this. I'm just glad they told a story and had cross interfere. Because if that didn't happen, this match probably would have left a sour taste in my mouth. Because it really didn't tell much of anything.
Yeah, I was not the hugest fan of this match. And you know what's crazy is that lately, I'm not the hugest fan of AJ Styles matches.
Right.
But it's just because I know what he used to be.
Right.
And now that he's like maybe a gear or two behind, he can still do a lot of the offense, but he can't really take as much of the defense anymore. He can't take a certain moves or as much because he's getting older.
Yeah.
And then his high flying, as much as he can do it, he can't do it as Monday through Friday. He can probably do it Monday, Thursday, and Sunday.
Right.
He can't do it every day, all day anymore. So it's slowing down a little bit. And I'm more of a fan of heel AJ than face AJ. Yep. I like heel AJ. So if we can get Cross to kind of put that needle back in AJ's back again and get him back into do some heel shit, I'm a fan of it. And also, another shot to Karrion Kross because another guy he used to talk to backstage and get motivated was Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah,
so that's another guy that's getting the benefit that's benefiting from this Karrion Kross kind of pull the strings puppet master storyline.
Absolutely,
it's shot Karrion Kross one time because I was at Bloodsport. Bloodsport 13? XIII is that 13 or is that?
Yeah, I think that's 13. Yeah,
I think that's 13. Whichever one is. Yeah, XIII. Bloodsport, Karrion Kross did this thing against Kratos. What was it? Something Kratos.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot his name. That Kratos dude,
yep.
Bad motherfucker, though. He a bad motherfucker. But shout out to Kratos and Karrion Kross. Had a good match. I'll give more thoughts on Bloodsport at the end of the show, but that was a good match.
We'll move forward. Co-main here. Which is where I thought this match would go. We got Liv and Raquel versus Lyra in her wings. She came out and apparently she forgot ravens were black and came out with white wings on. And her mystery, not so mystery opponent or partner, Becky Lynch. Now, I know there's some fans of the show, Kara specifically, that love Becky Lynch. I'm not going to lie to you. When her music hit, it pissed me off a little bit.
There were some people at the pool party. At that point, I was using that as my bathroom break to get some food before the match started. Yeah. I was in line waiting for my chicken tendies. And, you know, there's some screens around the bar. And, you know, there's a guy to my left. The music hit. He goes,
So it's not even that Becky's back. My issue with this, and we'll talk about, I'll go in deeper depth when we talk about this. It's one of the first things that happened on Raw, so we'll talk about them again in a minute. First off, let's go ahead and we'll cover the Raw segment here as well, because the Raw match was better than the Mania match. And the Mania match means absolutely nothing, because Becky and Lyra win the titles and then lose them right back again. My whole issue with this heel turn could have fucking happened back in January. And you could have actually told a compelling story for Lyra's title that concluded at Mania. But that's a whole different rant, maybe for a Friday episode. I didn't hate the match. I wasn't a big fan of them winning the titles, especially knowing now that they gave them back after 2 days.
One day.
After 1 day, yeah. I don't know. This thing is that's just my thoughts. I don't hate Becky. I don't love her as much as I used to. When her music played, I was like, I knew this was happening, but a little disappointed.
Oh, the breakup happened like way too fast. It should have been more of a slow burn, like Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero when they were tag team champions.
Right. That's my thing. I guess that's what I'm saying is it sting. It irritates me a little bit more because the whole purpose of bringing Becky back seems to be to turn her heel, which you could have done when Lyra won the title on January 6th. And had Becky come out and challenge her. So for me, I feel like you could have still had the Becky moment at Mania where Becky won the title at Mania. I feel like that would be a bigger match than this random tag match that really doesn't have much meaning.
Well, see, I would like them to be like tag team champions and then... You have Becky and Lyra who Becky's like, hey, I want to challenge you for that title. And so... Because the way the Rain Eddie storyline went was they won the tag team titles and then had no way out. And then instead of defending them at WrestleMania, Eddie was like, hey, I want to wrestle, you know, like the best. I want a meaningful match. He was like, I want to test out my skills against you, Ray. Yeah, see who the better man is. And then, you know, Eddie went on to lose or whatever. And then he lost again. And then they started getting pissed. And then that's when we got into the slow burn of the Eddie heel turn, you know. Of course, we don't need like paternity tests and shit like that.
Right.
And that's when we get the slow burn of Becky, and then finally she turns on her, as we get not fully to SummerSlam, but closer to SummerSlam, and then you have the big pay per view match, the big title match at SummerSlam.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I'm with you. If you're gonna make them champions, at least make it last longer than 24 hours. Like, I'm a little bit annoyed with that whole thing. But the annoyance does not compare to what we're about to discuss, where the world blew up. The entire Twitter universe of wrestling fans blew up at this main event. John Cena, Cody Rhodes. Now, first off, John Cena, let me tell you something. I don't hate John Cena. In the story, John Cena is playing the role perfectly.
Yeah,
I want to preface that. My frustration with this match was not John Cena. I don't care that he wrestled slow, methodic. That's what heels are supposed to do. I don't even care that you could visibly see him and hear him calling spots out. That doesn't bother me. He's been doing that for 12 years. The entrance of just being black and white, I fucking love that shit. That shit was...
It looks cool.
It was cool. The only thing that I'm pissed off about with this, and I'm going to go... I did an episode earlier this morning sort of explaining this, forgetting that The Rock was going to be on Pat McAfee's show. And oh boy, y'all just wait for Friday, because Dwayne's getting some more fan mail from me on Friday. My issue wasn't the match itself. The match was fine. It was serviceable. It did what it needed to do. Until you got to the fucking ending, and you sent out fucking Travis Scott. In the history books, this thing we've been waiting for as wrestling fans for the last, like, 5 years was every time John Cena showed up, could this be number 17? And he gets it. And in the record books is going to say, with the help of Travis Scott. And I'm sorry. As a wrestling fan, that's not acceptable to me. That's not good booking. This is not a good story. John Cena plays the character fine. We got a little bit of, you know, in this interview on Pat McAfee, we get a little bit of The Rock. I don't know if this is the truth or if The Rock is just bullshitting. I'm more than willing to bet that he's just bullshitting, but at least we get a reason. At least we get a reason as to why he didn't show up. It's because they paused the fucking I Want Your Soul story, and this said, hey, John, go do your thing. Would have been great if he told us that on TV. But yeah, I'm not going to hide my distaste for this ending and The Rock not showing up. Cause you gave us 6 months worth of breadcrumbs, whether it's the bad blood, whatever the fuck this was, or showing up January 6th to put Cody over, and telling us you're now best friends with Cody and Mama Rhodes and Dwayne's mom, they're the best of friends now. And then you show up at Chamber or 2 weeks before Chamber and say, I want your soul. Then you show up at Chamber and you get the cutthroat, and again the threes are held up, and you end the night there with Cena, Travis Scott, and The Rock, and there's no payoff. And I don't blame fans for being frustrated. I'm frustrated. This was I think it was you who said it. This was shit icing on a shit cake. Anything else you want to add to this?
It's like, even if what The Rock said about how the I Want Your Soul storyline is paused, why is Travis Scott out there? Right. If you want to say John Cena, have your moment, do your thing, why does Travis Scott come out?
Right.
Why not just have Cody and Cena put on a 5-star fucking match like the both of them could do at WrestleMania?
Right.
And John Cena goes over.
Right.
I mean, I get his heel character doesn't want to give us what we want.
I don't even hate the heel character.
He'll have no choice, though, if Cody puts on a match with him. He has no choice.
Right. So I don't even care about the character Cena's playing, right? All I care about is that I expected The Rock, because everything leading up to this told me The Rock should be here.
Yeah.
If you would have had Cena turn heel and first off, I believe if Cena should have won Chamber, this should have come in and the build should have just been Cena had the perfect motivation. I want 17. You don't need anything more than that. This should have just been Cody wants to defend his belt. Cena wants 17. And then at Mania is when you could have turned Cena heel. You could have had him, the ref bump. Cena takes the belt, hits Cody over the face. You don't need The Rock involved. You don't need Travis Scott involved.
And then he could still do his promo on Monday like he just did.
And he could still play the I'm tired of this, I'm in an abusive relationship bullshit.
And do the whole date countdown shit.
Right, and still do the dates. Yeah, 100%. So I feel like the last month and a half leading up to Mania, it's meaningless. So, I mean, it is what it is.
I don't even blame Triple H, though. I don't blame Triple H. I blame The Rock. I think The Rock played
100%. So 100% this is The Rock. Like, I listened to this in this McAfee interview, and this was 100% Nick Khan, Ari Emanuel, hearing, seeing all the backlash from the people in the crowd, not so much those in the crowd, but the people online and everyone bitching on about the finish. And they said, and they picked up the phone and said, bro, we need you on McAfee on Tuesday. You got to clean this shit up. And The Rock is a great bullshitter, probably about, he's on par with Hulk Hogan and how he can lie his way out of shit. The thing is none of us believe a word that came out of his fucking mouth today.
No, the worst thing is, like, you know, it could have been a shit ending, but a really good match. It was a shit match and a shit ending.
Yeah, yeah. I feel that.
This man, Cody Rhodes, has been taking abuse after abuse for the past 2.5-3 years, and you're telling me he lost to a belt, like a one title, a one hit to the head, and
this man who went to war with Roman Reigns last year, beat him after 1,300 days of Roman winning, and he loses it to Travis Scott.
The man who went through hell with Seth Rollins, hell with Brock Lesnar, hell with
not Roman just went through hell with Seth Rollins, not just went to hell with Seth Rollins, went to hell through Seth Rollins with one good arm. He loses to Travis Scott.
The whole bloodline. He went through the whole bloodline, and now he loses to Travis Scott interference.
Right. Yeah. This ending is atrocious, and nothing they've done to try to clean this shit up has made any sense. It's making it worse, 100%. I'll give more of a personal take to Dwayne on Friday, but we're going to transition into Monday. We'll still talk about Cena because he starts the show. The Vegas crowd cheered him, which is weird. What I like about Cena is he can play to the crowd, though. So they started cheering him like, bro, you don't get to cheer me after you just booed me on Friday. And Cena's great. I don't hate the Cena character at all. I don't blame Cena. I don't even really blame Triple H for this because I know this isn't Triple H's fault. And so, great segment. He's like, I got 36 dates, and I'm out of here. And I've already done 9 of them. And he said, and 27 more dates. And he makes, he says, appearances, not matches, appearances. And 27 more appearances, which I know we got, I think he's got 2 more. I think he'll be at Backlash. I think he's on 1 more on the road to Backlash. I mean, Backlash is in like 2 weeks, so I think he's all the way till Backlash. I know he's at Saturday Night Main Event at the end of May and like 2 or 3 in June. So I'm assuming he'll be at SummerSlam. I don't know when this is going to end for him, though, because, I mean, 27 is not a lot for him to be on weekly TV and PLEs. So my
prediction, I think, for this is if Cena plans on holding his title all the way to, like, the last date or whatever, he say he's going to be the last champion before he, like, ruins his belt or gets rid of his belt or whatever. Right. I think somebody from this new Seth Rollins faction is going to cash their money in the bank. And keep the title going on, because that's what. Because Seth Rollins is the savior of this industry. Okay, he's going to save us. He's going to save the industry from John Cena.
Okay, I like that. I'm not going to predict this because I don't know where the fuck it's going. Next segment, we kind of already talked about. Liv and Raquel gets their rematch. They win the titles back. Becky turns heel. Anything you want to add to the situation that we haven't already talked about?
Raquel and Liv defend their titles at NXT tonight.
They did.
Decent showing. So go watch it. Go watch NXT.
Yes, sir. So then we get the New Day out here, and they're talking about how they're the champions, and I don't exactly remember what they were saying, but we were all sort of expecting a tag team to answer them, and they did, just not the one we wanted. It was the Alpha Academy.
Who else would we expect?
I mean, I don't really know who we would expect, but I know I didn't expect Alpha Academy to come out.
No, I'm not lying. When the music hit, I wasn't watching the TV, and I was on the way to the bathroom. So yeah. I thought it was the Creed Brothers, because that's who the fuck I thought it was
at first.
I get the music mixed up.
Yeah, because I wasn't really paying attention. I was in my phone at this point because it's the New Day, and I'm not really necessarily caring about the New Day. So the music hit, and I'm like, the fuck are the Creeds out there for? And then I looked up, I was like, oh, not the Creed. First off, Maxine learned how to promo, and she did a very good job.
Yeah, give her a 6 out of 10.
So this looks like we're about to get a match, and then everything goes fucking dark.
Well, I mean, I knew we weren't getting a match because the New Day was still in street clothes.
Yeah. Well, that and I'm gonna give you guys a little behind the screen. I know the IWC thinks this is giving away kayfabe. Kayfabe's been dead, guys. But it was a top of the hour segment, so we knew a fucking return was gonna happen. And for why I bring that up, for those who don't know, the top of the hour is when more people are willing to flip the channels, and not that it matters because it's fucking Netflix, but if it's a 9 o'clock when this happens and I'm watching a show from 8 to 9 or not 8:30 to 9, you're more than likely to have someone flip to your show at the top of an hour. Anyway, Rusev comes back and just destroys both teams. Now, I'm confused as to why Rusev came back during a tag team segment, but I don't hate it.
I think New Day got out of the ring.
New Day did, yeah. New Day did get out of the ring. They did. So they beat up Alpha. So this is obviously going to lead to him versus Otis. And I made the joke, and it wasn't really a joke, but Otis and Maxine versus Lana and Rusev, I'd pay to watch it. Not a lot, but I'd pay to watch it. So the only thing I don't like about it is the fucking new music. I wanted Rusev Machka. But it is what it is.
I assume this is more of like his AEW kind of gimmick he just had.
I don't remember ever seeing him on AEW, to be honest. Yeah,
he only had a couple matches. That
I mean, he was TNT champion for like a week, but I don't know what the fuck he was doing in AEW. But I'm going to give it a chance here. I know immediately everyone said they wanted Rusev versus Gunther, at least in the Discord. I'm fine with that.
I want to see him on the same team.
Yeah.
100%. I want to see this like European alliance thing.
100%, especially if you add like a Drew McIntyre.
Yes.
And I'm trying to think of like they need a fourth, but like a smaller member who could do like.
Just like Kaiser?
I mean, Kaiser would be fine, but I feel like Kaiser should be alone, just personally.
Pete Dunne?
Yeah, Pete Dunne. Maybe like a Tyler Bate. I mean, you could have five members in it. Tyler Bate, maybe even someone like Axiom, who, I mean, he is from Spain. I don't know if he'll be a good heel. But
oh, Nathan Frazier, where's he from?
I think he's from the States. I could be wrong, but I do think he's from.
Oh, bring up Charlie Dempsey from New Core.
Dempsey would be great.
Shout out Dempsey. From Bloodsport.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, definitely would love a European greatness. Dragunov. There's a perfect name. Ilya Dragunov when he returns.
He's the person who's to overcome the alliance.
Ah, see, this is wavy thinking two steps ahead. So Rusev, great return. Nothing too special. I'm sure we'll get Lana in eventually.
You mean WWE legend Lana?
Yeah, 100%. Lana. How she's a legend, I don't know. I guess she's on a legend contract, but that makes no sense to me. It's all right, though. Then we get Io Sky in the ring.
Yes.
And she is great interrupted. Promo. She cuts a promo. I don't remember what she said.
8 out of 10 promo.
But she's interrupted by, and I'll be honest with you, When this person's music, when Stephanie Vaquer's music hit, again, not really paying attention to the screen, just listening. And I'm like, this music sounds familiar. Who the fuck is this? And then Stephanie walks out.
La Primera.
Y'all know how I feel about Stephanie Vaquer. Now, I made a tweet when this happened. I was a little bit in my feelings at this point. I was a little bit pissed off with WWE still from the Cena shit. And my tweet that I made was, as much as I love Stephanie Vaquer, this is a Tony Khan segment. And I still stand by this. This is something Tony Khan would have done. It's a random match with no story. But Triple H does something that Tony Khan needs to take a lesson from. he makes a story at the end of it. Tony Khan would have just had this banger match. And by the way, it was probably better than anything on night one, this match. Maybe the main event was better. But this match in and of itself, fantastic. But he makes a story out of it. And you have Roxanne attack Stephanie, which plays into
NXT. No, she attacked Io.
She attacked Io? Okay. Because I thought Julia.
No. So Roxanne came out at first and attacked Io. Okay. And Stephanie was like, what the hell, man?
Right.
And then Julia came out and attacked Stephanie. And then Roxanne looked at each other.
Right.
And then Julia went and attacked Io, and Roxanne went and attacked Stephanie while they were in the corners, you know, stomping them out. And then that's when Rhea's music
came out. Rhea came out, and then we got the stare down between Julia and guys, we got seeds. This is exactly what I think this is. There's this event that hasn't been announced yet, but should be announced here pretty soon. It's called Evolution. It's going to be held in Connecticut. It's in Hartford, right? Hartford?
No, Mohegan Sun Arena, which is in Uncasville, Connecticut.
Elkinsville?
No, Uncas.
Ah, Uncasville. Okay. That's where
It's called Mohegan Sun.
That's where UConn is, right?
Sorry. The Connecticut Sun play at Mohegan Sun. The UConn women, they play in stores.
Okay.
That's where UConn is. UConn is
right,
in stores.
Right.
But they play a lot of games in Hartford.
Okay. Either way, there's an event called Evolution 2 that we're about to get. And I just 100% was setting up for that. 100%. That's what I believe. We're going to get a lot of women. Guys, if you needed any other proof that the WWE women's division is the greatest in the world, just watch Stand and Deliver. Just watch WrestleMania Night 2's opening match. Just watch this match on Raw after Mania. This is all you needed to watch. You could watch the show on Wednesday or watch Mercedes when she travels the world and acts like she's the greatest thing on the planet. But none of that compares to what we got this weekend. I'm just gonna set the record there. Anything else about this segment you want to talk about?
When we get closer to Evolution and they officially announce it, we gotta make a dream card.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't fully remember the order of how this went down. If I do remember, the Yeet Fest was next after this.
Yeah, Yeet Fest, and then we went to commercial break, and when we came back for commercial break, Gunther was at the table.
Yeah. So we'll talk about Yeet Fest real quick. Y'all just expect a lot of this for the near future.
Oh, yeah. Sami Zayn returned.
Sammy was back. Everyone was fucking bitching. I don't know if you saw the people complaining because Sammy came back and there was a dude with an Israel flag behind him. Y'all are the most pettiest mother. Who? Y'all don't even know this dude and you're trying to get him canceled because he held an Israel flag up while Sami Zayn's in the ring when 90% of the Raw after Mania crowd are foreign. And they hold up their flags. That's what they do.
There was a guy with a Nas Reed flag at both nights of WrestleMania.
Right. Like, shut the fuck up. Just stop.
Nas Reed, the basketball player for the Timberwolves.
Oh, I'm so done with these people. Anyway, we got Yeet Fest. We got a little celebration. We got Jimmy in the big Jim in the ring. I'm a little disappointed because Roman should have been there too. But maybe that's down the line.
He has own something to worry about right now.
I don't know about you. I'm a little bit tired of the yeet. I'm a little bit tired of yeeting after this weekend. There's two things I don't ever want to do again for like two more weeks. Yeet and hear Fiend. I'm tired of that fucking song.
I mean, even Jay's been yeeting a little less too. I was waiting for the ring. He's been yeeting a little less. He's beginning to ring a little faster.
Yeah. But yeah, we come back from commercial break. And this man Gunther is fucking yapping at Michael Cole. And this man, Michael Cole, stands up and says, well, at least I'm not the one that tapped out like a dumbass. So Gunther puts his hands on him like he probably should have. And Pat McAfee gets involved. And Pat McAfee fucked around and found out. And then we spent the remaining of the show hearing Michael Cole bitch about how commentators should not have to fear for their life, as if JR didn't get fucking set on fire.
You know what I'm saying?
I just, what an era we're in. I just, what a segment. Gunther, I don't know if he heard Notorious D or if he heard us say he needs to flip the switch, but if he flipped the switch, and I'm thoroughly enjoying this.
Now we got Gunther versus Pat McAfee sometime down the line. Is that an overseas match? What's next? I know the Backlash.
So we got Backlash.
It's like St. Louis or whatever.
We have Backlash in St. Louis. We have Saturday at Main Event in Tampa.
There you go.
Which is going to be a big event because it's going up against AEW's Double or Nothing.
The show in Texas?
The show in Phoenix. Not All In, but the show before that. Double or Nothing, which is, you know, a lot of the stories that are going to play into the Texas show. But all the AEW fans are complaining because WWE has the whole weekend.
They have a whole other state. Whole other side of the country. It should not affect your arena numbers, your in-person numbers.
Right.
I doubt anyone who already had tickets to AEW in Phoenix is like, hey, maybe I should
fucking Tampa.
To cancel my flight and go to Tampa for NXT, for WWE Saturday's main event.
Or NXT Battleground, which is going to be a banger of an event, by the way. But
yeah, it's like I doubt the AEW fans who buy tickets to AEW pay-per-views are the fans who would change up and go to a WWE main event, which has had mixed reviews so far.
Well, yeah. There's nothing important going to happen at main event.
So don't bitch and complain.
Right.
Your viewership numbers, maybe. I'm saying your who shows up in person should not reflect what WWE does.
Absolutely. This man, Gunther, is crazy. We get Dom.
Gunther versus Pat McAfee at Tampa. Sorry, Saturday's main event.
I'm down with it. I'm down with it.
I would say hold off for the international crowd because they'll be fully behind fucking Pat McAfee.
Yeah.
Their fucking chance.
McAfee. Then we get Dom versus Penta for the title. His first title defense. And JD McDonagh returns. Which I was happy for. I'm glad to see him back. This adds a little bit, you know. There was a backstage segment earlier with the Judgment Day where, you know, Finn's been playing this little like I'm annoyed with you, but you know what? I'm gonna forgive you. You know, they're teasing the turn.
Yeah.
And I think that's gonna be a SummerSlam match, Finn and Dom for the title.
But now that JD's back in the mix, it adds another level to the story.
100%.
It made it a lot easier for Finn to split when JD was gone. But now JD's going to be back and be buddy-buddy with Mysterio and help him defend his title. And that's another level. You know, unless you want to just split Finn and JD together, which you could do. But I don't know. It's interesting.
It's interesting. I'm every time I'm like, oh, well, I'm tired of Judgment Day, they reinvent it somehow. And suck me back into wanting to care about this. So then we come to Seth Rollins. Paul Heyman in the ring. I don't actually remember what was said during the promo.
Same. I was a little sleepy.
All that I know is CM Punk showed up. And then Roman showed up. And then Roman Superman punch Paul Heyman. Mm-hmm. This is lining up the spear. He was about to spear the saw out of Paul Heyman. But unbeknownst to us, this man, Bron Breakker, comes in wearing his favorite black hoodie and spears the saw out of Roman Reigns.
Oh my God, who is it?
who's the only guy that size? Oh, that's Bron Breakker. And we have a new alliance here. Bron Breakker's part of this new faction, unnamed. One thing we did forget to talk about, I do want to talk about real quick, though, before we move forward in the Cena segment, Randy Orton RKO'd him. I don't know how we forgot that, but that's going to be your Backlash main event. Kind of expected it to happen this way, but I'm not upset with it.
No, the reason why I think Cena should have won the title later down the line is I want Orton to get this win at St. Louis.
Right. 100% agree, because yeah, Orton's gonna have to lose this match.
Yeah, no.
I think we'll get another Travis Scott appearance. 100% believe that. And
Travis Scott's gonna eat an RKO.
I hope so. But yeah, there's your Mania weekend. Anything else you'd want to add to this?
For those who didn't go watch Stand Deliver, great show. The tag team match was incredible. The fans were into it. Apparently, I don't know. So when I was in attendance, the crowd seems like they're chanting at everything. But when I go, like, I don't ask people how the crowd sounds on TV, they said it doesn't sound that loud or whatever, yada, yada. I will say, for the women's Fatal 4-Way match, we were not the loudest because there was a lot of, like, standing and looking spots or like, is this the optics? Like, when you're in a crowd, and you can see someone just waiting on the outside for the next spot. That's what kills the illusion sometimes.
Right.
But on TV, you don't see that, so you're more into it.
I also got to say, I don't know how many times I got to explain this to people. WWE turns the crowd mics down. So, because I heard a lot of people complaining about night one sounding pretty low, which it did. But then I think it was Snuggles said that he knew someone who knew someone at the arena, and that they were pretty loud, which makes sense to me. Every live show I've ever been to, you think it's the loudest thing ever, then you watch it back and it's like, oh, I don't remember it being this quiet. They turned the mics down. And I know this because I sat behind, when I went to Vengeance Day, I sat behind the actual dude who was controlling the sound. I saw him turn the mics down. I know this for a fact.
Also, shout out to the not even a shout out. I want to shame you. Shame you to the people in the crowd who, during a standard tag team match or a standard one-on-one match, start chanting, "We want tables." No, the fuck we don't. We don't want a fucking no contest finish.
Right.
All
right. I'm tired of that chant in general.
Save that for like a triple threat match or a ladder match. You know, so something where you could use tables. Okay.
Right.
And also, the new table is the Dell's table.
Speaking of ladders, you went to the show that had the only ladder match this weekend.
Yes.
What a great match that was.
It was a good match. It was a few spots too shy. For my liking.
100%.
There was room for a few more ladder spots, but they're like, hey, you gotta give Sol Ruka her moment with these fucking finishers. But there are a few spots too shy.
Yeah, I agree. I can agree with that.
There's one spot I wanted to bring back. The problem is that you need such an athlete to pull it off. That's hard to do. The Shelton Benjamin, when he runs up the ladder spot and like clotheslines the other guy on the other ladder. We need that spot back. They tried to, I think, with like Shotzi one time, but she couldn't.
Shotzi's not athletic at all. I think Nathan Frazier could do it. He's quick.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that tag match, I was into that shit.
Oh yeah.
I will second that. Go watch Stand and Deliver.
Shout out Bloodsport, over at GCW. I will say I went to the event with three of my friends. One of them, a wrestling casual, you know, he likes wrestling. The other two don't really watch too much. One of them tries to watch a little bit, so he knows what I'm talking about in my podcast.
Right.
But they are not really much wrestling fans. And so I brought them to the wrong GCW event. I should have brought them to, like, when he was fucking, like, light bulbs and chairs and shit.
Right.
I brought them to one that has, like, no ropes. It was just like
you brought him to the MMA show.
Yeah, I brought him to MMA where he's fucking grapple and
right.
Like hit a little hard. But it's like it was too technical. And right. It was like fucking like 10 matches.
Yeah. I don't know if I could have gone to that show. I walk out of boredom.
The one match that really disappointed though, which I thought was gonna be the best match of the card, was Zack Sabre Jr. versus Jonathan Gresham.
Which is crazy. Because I remember you posted that. When was it? That was a Thursday, right?
Yeah.
And I remember you saying you were disappointed in Zack Sabre, and we were talking like in the Discord about who is our top five best wrestlers, and James had Zack Sabre in his top five, and I'm like, ooh, you might be the only person in here that.
You know, I think it's just that type of match, like those two, because they're trying to tell the story of like going the distance and like running out of time. And then the fans chanted one more round or encore or whatever. So he said, we're going to give you guys another 5 minutes. I'm like, okay. And so they wrestled some more. And we got a finish. But those two would have been better in a traditional wrestling match. Right. Those two aren't meant for Bloodsport.
Right, 100%. Well, there's that. We'll end this episode here. This is your deep dive of WrestleMania weekend. Tune in Friday. I got a lot to talk about as we're on the road to Backlash. I'm going to give my opinions on where I think the show's going to go or where I want it to go. And I got an open letter to Dwayne. But until then, I will see you guys on the next episode. Thanks for watching. Like, share, subscribe. Have a great rest of your week. So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEW, WWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay, slapping meat wrestling every Tuesday.